Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I am your host, Alex Pulowski, and everything sucks. Everything sucks, and everything also doesn't... Everything sucks more. Like, it's like 60-40 suck. Which, honestly, it's usually closer to like 85-15 suck. Like, 15% of the stuff is good. Like, but the stuff that sucks, like, does it cancel out the stuff that doesn't suck? That's a big theme with SmackDown tonight. There's some good stuff, but like this, but then like to counteract that good stuff, there is stuff that sucks, and that's never fun. It's never fun to be like, oh, this is, you know what's great about this meal is the mashed potatoes are creamy with just the right amount of butter. I don't know what they put in the seasoning, but these mashed potatoes are among the best I've ever had. The steak is like a charcoal briquette. I don't know. They must have left it in the oven for like 6 hours. I can't eat this. This is disgusting. I have to throw this away. But these mashed potatoes... Again, I can't. My compliments to the chef on the mashed potatoes. I want the chef thrown in jail for the steak. So you see how I am. You know what I mean? You see how I am. Yeah. I'm using food to symbolize. I use food to symbolize pretty much everything. That's probably why I'm the size that I am. But tonight I'm using it to symbolize, you know, how some things suck, but some things are good. But does the thing that suck counteract the good stuff so much that you can't even really enjoy the good stuff? And I'm not really sure about that, honestly. It's tough. So, one thing that doesn't suck is Wheeler Yuta versus the Butcher. This is really good stuff. I think honestly, this is Wheeler Yuta losing the ROH Pure title is going to be a net positive for him because he can do other stuff. He just not just confined to like that being his whole point. Now he can do other stuff. You like try and break the arm of a much larger man. So I'm a big fan of Utes. Well, see, like nothing counteracts Logan Paul, Tim. Like that's like going in and yeah, the mashed potatoes are really, really good, but the steak is a charcoal briquette. Also, a meteorite just hit the restaurant, so we're all dead. That's Logan Paul, or not even that. Somehow, somebody dumped a giant bottle of arsenic into all of the food in the kitchen. And we're all going to die of the poison. That's probably what it is. You know what I mean? So, Logan Paul turned out to be exactly what I said he was since the fucking beginning. And I know most of the people here watching my show have agreed with me the entire time, but I've seen a lot of people talking about how, like, yeah, he's not a very nice person, but also what a damn fine professional wrestler. It's crazy how fast he's picked up the business. I mean, look at him cutting promos, doing buckshot lariats. I mean, that's hard to do. Those things are hard to do. And we should give him credit for how good of a professional wrestler somehow he is, while not disqualifying him from being a professional wrestler just because he's a piece of shit. And I think that I have foreseen the piece of shittedness that he would become. Wheeler Yuta, by the way, with a cattle mutilation, tapping out the Butcher. I have foreseen the piece of shittedness that he has always been, but would eventually show the world. And a lot of people were like, yeah, he's bad, but like, honestly, he's really good at wrestling, though. And I think even those people over the past 24 hours have been like, nah, fuck that guy. Get him out. I don't want to see him again. Piece of shit. Human trash. Let's just get him the fuck out. And so while it would be beyond me to say, I told you so, I would just like to say, I told you so. Here's MXM cutting a promo, and they're amazing. Prepare to be stretched by the masters. Wow. MXM is the greatest thing in the world. They should have the titles. They should. The Young Bucks should lose the titles to them at All In. I am telling you that right now. I am telling you that right now. Anyway, Logan Paul's a piece of shit. He shows up at the, before the show. Have I mentioned he's a piece of shit? He shows up wearing the kind of car that a piece of shit would drive. Electric blue with the logo for his terrible energy drink company plastered all over it. A giant gas-guzzling piece. Ah, fuck it. Is it electric? It might have been electric. I don't know. But anyway, he's a piece of shit. And again, just so we don't mince words, Logan Paul, piece of shit. Okay, moving on. You know who's not a piece of shit, but also I hate? Cody Rhodes. I mean, he also might be a piece of shit. I'm not really sure, but the character just gets under my skin. You know what I mean? Really does. He comes out in his wine-colored suit, and he says, "What do we want to talk about? Better yet, who do we want to talk to? Solo Sikoa!" And then Solo Sikoa comes out. Solo Sikoa has Solo Sikoa. Listen, I may be the biggest member of this dude's fan club, because Kate and I were covering NXT when he first showed up, and we were like, this dude is great. This dude has it. He's gonna be a huge star on the main roster. What a cool guy Solo Sikoa is. Brian Cage winning a squash match. What a huge star Solo Sikoa is going to be. And now he's on the main roster, and he's proving over and over again, he's got it. Like, he's shut down the What Chance. He did this amazing thing where, like, Cody was talking about fucking Cody bullshit, and he's like, "Are you done? Are you done? You're wasting my time." He was wearing a really nice watch. He wasn't wearing no watch like I am. But he was like, "You're wasting my time here." The other members of the New Bloodline come out, and he challenges Cody Rhodes to a Bloodline Rules match, which you'll remember Cody won the last one against Roman Reigns. Solo says that Roman was a weak tribal chief at the time, and he is a strong one. And then Cody does a thing where he's like, "You think I'm scared of these guys? Tongaloa, I'm not scared of you." Nobody is scared of Tongaloa. You should be even less scared of him now, because he's got no depth perception. And then he says, "Tama Tonga, you and I actually have a lot of history." You know, he doesn't say this, but I'll say it, Bullet Club stuff. "So I'm not scared of you." And then he says to Jacob Fatu, he says, "I'm not scared of you, you dumb son of a bitch." And I'm like, and the crowd pops for it because they're fucking rubes. What the fuck are we doing? Why is he, I'm sorry, why is he a dumb son of a bitch? What part of his, what facet of his personality has Jacob Fatu displayed on television in front of Cody Rhodes that would give him license to just paint him with a giant dumb son of a bitch brush? That's fucking stupid. Come up with better material, Cody Rhodes. You got nice wine-colored suits, but you got terrible promo material, Cody Rhodes. So here's the deal. Solo's losing tomorrow. If he loses because Roman comes back and starts a storyline between Solo and Roman, cool, fine, I guess. If it's just because Cody overcomes the odds, you can fuck off with that all the way to hell. Solo needs to win tomorrow. The only thing that should prevent him from winning is Roman Reigns. That's it. He should, like, it should be, like, with the his three buddies being able to help him out, and Randy Orton and Kevin Owens in the kayfabe hospital. I mean, they'll probably show up and help Cody, but, you know, whatever. That means it's 4-on-3, which is why Roman has to come out. Like, you neuter Solo Sikoa forever. He talks such a good game. He's got a great charisma, this awesome aura about him as a heel leader. And listen, I wish it was Jacob Fatu who's the leader of the Bloodline. I wish it had been Solo Sikoa as his top lieutenant, setting the table for when he shows up, and then that's actually the real leader. I think they should have done that, but they didn't do that, and they see Solo Sikoa as more of a leader than Jacob Fatu, so they need to run with it, and he should beat Cody Rhodes. Not only because I fucking hate Cody Rhodes' title reign, but also because it elevates Solo Sikoa to this stratospheric level. He beats Cody Rhodes. He's a made man forever, and you can build on it. He talks all this shit to Cody Rhodes, has all the advantages in a Bloodline rules match, and then loses. Well, I mean, that kind of just... That sucks. It makes him look weak. It makes him look terrible. He's losing tomorrow, but he should win. He should win in a dominant fashion. And I'm not saying that Cody can't get the title back before WrestleMania next year so that he can face The Rock or whatever fucking stupid thing they're going to do. Solo Sikoa should win. Brian Cage versus Kyle Fletcher is, I think, happening tomorrow. No, Kyle Fletcher turning face to like pick a fight with Brian Cage is great. I love this. Andrade versus Carmelo Hayes is great. It's long. These guys have fantastic chemistry. They have each other scouted. They're doing counters to counters to counters. And then Andrade wins. He's able to reverse a roll-up, which was reversed out of a different roll-up, and get a fantastic pinning predicament to pin Carmelo Hayes. I love that they're pushing Andrade. I think he's got a great opportunity to be like next in line for a U.S. title shot. Or even if like if Roman comes back and like steals Solo's focus away from Cody and puts it on Roman, like if those guys split off and do their own thing for a few months, you could even convince me that that Andrade should face Cody. That'd be kind of cool. But I don't like that they're doing this at the expense of Carmelo Hayes. He shouldn't lose two matches in a row. If they're actually doing a real feud between Andrade and Carmelo, if let's say it's five matches, a five-match feud, best of five, it should go 1-1, 1-1-1. Like nobody should get up two on anybody in this best of five. That honestly, I feel like that's just kind of an obvious thing, but because there's no reason for Andrade to give Carmelo Hayes a rematch. You understand? Carmelo might want a rematch, but there's no reason to give him one, and that's a problem. I think it's really good that Andrade's being pushed, but really bad that Carmelo is the victim of said push. And with that, it's Nyla Rose versus the Harley Cameroon. And honestly, I think it's so brave of her to be here wrestling in America while she should be over in France with the Cameroon national team. Because, of course, Harley Cameroon changed her name, I think this is true, to honor her country of origin. Because when I look at Harley Cameroon, I think Cameroon. The Nyla Rose having none of it, though. She ditches old Cameroon to the outside. And Rose here, which is my favorite kind of wine, by the way. I love a good Rose. She does a sliding drop kick through the bottom rope to knock her over. We love the Nyla Rose. Don't we love the Nyla Rose, everybody? Everybody in the chat, tell me how much you love the Nyla Rose. Now she decides to put the brakes on there. Yes, this is nice. Oh, yes. Bringing her up. Oh, but she gets thrown head first into the ring post and then shoved into the barricade by Cameroon. Cameroon. Honestly. We love the Nyla Rose. Don't we all love the Nyla Rose? We have to love the Nyla Rose, don't we? Maybe this is setting up the Nyla versus the Saraya at the All In, at the Wembley, in the England. I think that would be a wonderful thing to do. But now she smashed it down on a very broad and strong back. I feel like that's not the best place to attack the Nyla Rose. I feel like it's not. I feel like perhaps the back is not the best place to hit her. Just some kicks to the midsection by the Cameroonian there. The dreaded foot in the face in the ropes. The foot in the face in the corner. Oh, it was, yes, wonderful. Here we go. Look, it's home of the biggest blockbusters. Do you remember Blockbuster? Remember Blockbuster when you could go in and rent a VHS for $1.99? And that was the new releases. You could go in there, you plunk down your cord, and you say, hello, this is my account. I would like to please rent Prince of Tides. And they would say, you've rented Prince of Tides 100 times in the past year. Perhaps you should just buy a copy of Prince of Tides. And I say, how dare you? I have never bought a VHS, and I never will, because I know one day they're going to go out of style. They're going to be replaced by laser discs. And then, you know, Betamaxes were before VHSs. Oh, then the DVDs. And then you buy everything digitally. And then you stream everything digitally. And then I'm going to have to, what, sell my copy of Prince of Tides in a garage sale? Like a commoner? No, I'm sorry. I think you will take my Blockbuster card, you will scan it, and then you will have me rent Prince of Tides. And I will take it home, and I will watch it, and I will bring it back tomorrow, and I will rent it again. And I will and we will do this dance forever, Blockbuster employee. Do you remember that? Do you remember how much fun that was? I remember Blockbusters. Oh, hello, End of the Age. It's wonderful. Hello. It's good to see you. It's good to see the SGS, as always. Thank you so much. So here we go. It looks like we have the Nyla Rose getting kicked in the back. More back work. More working over the back by Holly Cameroon. And Nyla's having none of it. She just stands up and punches them in the face. Throws her over there. Oh, look. Attempting a sunset flip. I do not believe Nyla Rose. Oh, she just sits right down. Sits down. Oh, but Holly Cameroon, she kicks out. That was all of Nyla's weight across the shoulders that she just kicked out. Oh, we've lost the picture in picture. Oh, look. It's that commercial where they show a former sports ball player and everybody's like, oh my God, you retired 15 years ago. I would like to have sex with you. And he's like, what? They say, what is your secret? Oh, I take this pill. I take this pill. It's not approved by the FDA in any way. Honestly, it probably doesn't do anything. But some people who produce this placebo here in this thing, they've paid me a lot of money. And I say, well, I don't know if I want to take your money to hawk your placebo. And then they tell me, it's okay, we're going to cast a lot of women who are going to show up on screen and tell you how sexy you are. And then I, as a former ball player, will say, I actually like that very much. I will accept your money to hawk your placebo. So it's wonderful here. This is good. This is good. This is wonderful. It's nice. Oh, hey, look, this is nice. Here we're back. And Nyla Rose getting up from a knee, trying to go for a choke slam, but Holly Cameroon with some knee strikes to the midsection. And then some mid strikes to the knee section. And some 12-6 elbows to the clavicle, but it stopped. It stopped by Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose picks her up across her back. More 12-6 elbows. And then some 3-9 running. And then some around the clock something. And then, oh, a backbreaker. A backbreaker from Nyla Rose. And then a big power slam there. And a giant jumping leg drop. Get your tickets now for the Legivum Coliseum for Dynamite this week. Oh, and kick out there. Wednesday, next Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that, they're going to be in Norfolk, which is in Virginia. And I'm hoping there they will at least let Adam Hangman Page allow him to get a victory in his hometown. Wouldn't that be nice? He doesn't have to sell for that fourth grader Darby Allin. Oh, she reverses it. Attempted monkey flip reversed by Nyla Rose. And then she catches the crossbody. Ow, and a front slam. You might say it's one of the world's strongest, that slam. You might say. I mean, you might not say it, but you might say it. I'm not sure. Far be it from me to tell you what to say about that slam. But, oh, a cannonball missed in the corner. And Holly Cameroon here, the kicking her in the back of the head there. And then running the ropes. And a big running at the Shining Wizard. That wizard is very shining. Kicked out by Nyla Rose. Holly Cameroon is really showing me something here. Especially when you know her thoughts have got to be with all of her countrymen and women over in Paris, France, doing the Cameroonian things and the Olympics. Head scissor into the corner. Big splash into the corner. Here comes... what's Cameroon going to do here? standing on the middle rope, asking for, I don't know, something. She's doing a lot of this. Oh, doing a little Bronco busting. She's busting a Bronco. She's busting a Bronco, just like the cowgirls of yore, busting a Bronco. Oh, no, I think this Bronco doesn't want to be busted. This Bronco doesn't want to be busted. Oh, giant running sit-out powerbomb by the Nyla Rose. And just like that, the Cameroonian lies in defeat. I'm aware. Cameroon's an actual country. Yeah. And no, red boxes have been shut down because a terrible hedge fund company bought them out and then tried to save some money. So, like, basically all of Redbox has been shut down. So, hey, private parties here. They're going to say something. He called MXM Eminem, which I think is a timely reference. Private Party cutting a promo here on MXM. They're very comfortable on the mic. It's crazy to me, honestly, that Private Party has had 0 days as tag champs in either AEW or ROH. It's crazy to me. Honestly, it's crazy to me that they have had 0 days as champions since 2019. It's crazy to me. Oh my God. What's going on? Oh, Brian Keith has a match. At least Jericho. Oh, there's Jericho. I was like, oh, dang it. Jericho's here too. All right, cool. Well, we're not watching this. Here we go. Santos versus Apollo Crews. He's like, he basically like admonishes Legado, the Legado boys, for losing last week in the gauntlet match to Apollo and Baron Corbin. And says Santos has got to actually start getting serious about winning some matches here. So they do actually, they do win. Apollo is out there with Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin tries to get involved a couple of times, ends up getting pulled down because Angel, I think, goes under the ring and pulls him down, and they gang up on Baron Corbin, which allows Apollo to lose to Santos. It's actually a pretty good match. I think there's a lot that you can do with the lower mid card on SmackDown because you have such great wrestlers in the lower mid card of SmackDown in particular. So like just letting them have really good matches. Pick one of them or two of them to push at any one time and just let them have really good matches. Like Apollo is Apollo at this point. I would love it if they actually did something with him. But if you ask me to choose, who do I think should get pushed? Apollo Crews and Baron Corbin or Legado del Fantasma and Santos Escobar in particular? I'm picking Santos 10 times out of 10. So Santos gets the victory, as he should, and it was a very good match, and Apollo Crews made Santos look even better. So that, I guess, is something. The Logan Paul homecoming celebration, he got booed in his hometown, rightfully so, as we've said, piece of shit. Nick Aldis kind of tongue-in-cheek saying, "Welcome home, your favorite son." There's three people out there who he says are Cleveland dignitaries. That's what Logan Paul says. And they're just extras in fancy suits. They're extras in suits. And my thing about calling them dignitaries is I believe that the root word of dignitary is dignity. And if you are out there clapping for Logan Paul after the shitstorm he pulled yesterday, you have no dignity. So you cannot be a dignitary. Thank you. Anyway, they unfurl a big banner, and it's been scrawled with the word "yeah," but like obviously it wasn't spray paint over. The word "yeah" was printed on the banner. Like it's obviously they made a giant banner, like it's 40 feet high, 30 feet high, 15 feet across, with "yeah" printed as part of the design. Like somebody went in, took a picture of Logan Paul, and then like used the text feature in Photoshop to put like a kind of askew "yeah" in a font that resembles, you know, block handwriting. And then they printed it at Kinko's or wherever. Brian Keith won a squash match. And I feel like you could have just printed the regular photo and then gotten some spray paint and then had somebody spray paint "yeah." Because it looks like they had LA Knight print up the banner for his homecoming, which is dumb. Anyway, LA Knight comes out and says mean things to Logan Paul, and then LA Knight says, "I'm sorry about your banner. Let's see if we can go find a better banner." And he goes backstage and he interacts briefly with Yes Boys about their musical or whatever, and then he steals Logan Paul's terrible electric blue prime pickup. Shibata says that Samoa Joe and Hook want revenge. Shibata says he's fitting 100 more than 100%. Shibata says he's going to injure all of the learning tree, and oh brother, would I love to see that happen? But guess what? I don't think it is. Shibata has family in Winston-Salem. That's cool. That's great. So yeah, LA Knight stole Logan Paul's terrible pickup truck. I did not see LA Knight's tweet. Let me look up Mr. Larry Knight. LA Knight. Let's see here. Are you talking about like him in the car? Oh, it says oopsies. Ah, I get it. Oopsies. You know, because that's rather than saying I'm sorry for the horrible hate-filled screed that he published on Elon Musk's app yesterday, Logan Paul did not say, "I'm sorry for directing so much hate at this woman who did fucking nothing wrong." Rather than say, "I'm sorry," he said, "Oopsies." So LA Knight said oopsies about stealing Logan Paul's car. Yeah. Anyway, the women's tag titles, Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair interviewed beforehand. They call them the Unholy Union. They shouldn't. They're not that anymore. That's not what they are. That's not how they present themselves. They're no longer vampiruses. So don't call them the Unholy Union. Call them what they are, the non-spooky Scottish Muggles. And hey, they got a new recruit into their Muggledom. Their non-coven of non-witches has now one more non-witch in it, because Blair Davenport showed up to attack Jade Cargill outside the ring and cause a DQ finish, which means that the non-spooky Scottish Muggles are still your champions, and they have a new member, Blair Davenport. Now, I don't know where Naomi was. I thought she was going to come down and run it out, but here's the deal. There's a trio on Raw, Sonya Deville, Zoe Stark, Shayna Baszler. They're great. The Sapphic Shield, I've decided to call them until further notice. And they're great. And I really like the idea of adding Blair Davenport to the Muggle non-coven. And then you just have Naomi, who just jumps right back in with Bianca and Jade. But in that weird, like, three-way women's trios feud, are we getting the tag titles being defended a lot or ever? Or are they just kind of like a prop that two of the three women on one of the three trios will carry to the ring? Because those six women tag matches are going to be excellent, because all nine women can work. They're a lot of fun. At least, I mean, Jade maybe can't work in the traditional sense, but she's a superstar who chucks people all over the ring. So, like, yeah, it's pretty great. And also, it kind of sucks, because I really want the women's tag teams to have, like, real tag feuds, as opposed to, like, just being there alongside a much bigger feud. So that there's an eight-man tag match tomorrow night that is ruined by Darby being in it. Otherwise, like, it'll be a lot of fun, because the Beast Mortos is in it. And FTR, and I'm sure the Acclaimed is going to stick their noses in that bullshit, but just get the Acclaimed off my TV. Like, Anthony Bowens can stay, but the Acclaimed has to go. Bayley and Nia, like, there's a Nia video package, and then she gives a new briefcase, which looks great, to Tiffany. And I'm like, how long are we going to have to wait for Tiffany to cash in? Because I feel like you don't give her that new briefcase the night before SummerSlam if she's going to cash in at SummerSlam. I really hope that I'm wrong. And I hope Tiffany leaves Cleveland tomorrow as the new women's champion of SmackDown. But I don't think that's going to be the case. Chelsea Green still has not forgiven Tiffany Stratton for shoving her off the ladder. And I mean, I wouldn't. So we're going to get a little Nia and Tiffany versus Chelsea and Piper stuff, which, I mean, could, has the potential to be really good. Chelsea's a much better worker than they usually book her, and Piper Niven versus Nia Jax could be some cool, like, big lady. I mean, is it meat? It's a ladies' meat match. I don't know. Does that sound good? A ladies' meat match? What do you call it when two big ladies fight? You know what I mean? Lady meat? They're two big meaty ladies slapping meat? That just feels wrong. I don't know. Why does it feel wrong when I say that? Anyway. Which to me signifies that somehow Bayley is winning and retaining the title tomorrow because they're going to give Nia and here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like. Good. Meat has no gender. Thank you very much, Tom LaValle. Meat has no gender. We have established that meat is universal. Thank you very much. Meat, gender neutral. Wonderful. See, that's what I was thinking, Cyclo. I didn't want to be the one to say it. And I guess you're not actually technically saying it either. But lady slapping lady meat does sound like something else. It sounds like something that we're not saying that what they are doing. Anyway, I'm not going to get that far into it. Well, here we go. Evil Diva says, Lady Meat is fine. Thank you. I will take your word for it, Evil Diva. By the way, Private Party and MXM, I can tell, are going to have a classic. They're going to have a modern Rampage classic. I love that already MXM is having matches versus FTR on Collision and then main eventing Rampage versus Private Party in a long match. Like, this is going to go, what, 13 minutes? That's not bad for the main event of Rampage. Good stuff. So, guys, it sucks that Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa lost in Cleveland. But let me tell you, if you didn't know for a fact that they were losing when they did the Johnny Gargano kisses his wife and child before he walks down to the ring for the big match in Cleveland, if you didn't know for a fact that they were losing at that moment, then I feel very bad for you. As soon as it was Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga who were facing them for the titles, I knew they were losing, no matter where they were. Because let me tell you, they know what they have in Jacob Fatu, at least in-ring. They know what they have, and they are going to push that dude to the moon and allow him to be great. They're just allowing him to be as great as he absolutely is. And this was a very fine match. Tama Tonga took, what, 92% of the offense? And Jacob Fatu got in there, no-sold a poison Rana, and then hit a pop-up Samoan drop and a huge moonsault and then an implant DDT. And I'm sorry, Johnny Gargano, or basically nobody, is getting up from that S-tier onslaught. Jacob Fatu basically won the tag titles by himself. And although I'm sad that DIY lost the tag titles, and I am sad about that, I think it's a net positive if they continue to make Jacob Fatu look like an absolute motherfucking world beater. When Roman Reigns comes back and he feuds with the new bloodline, I think there is absolutely a non-zero chance that they will give us a one-on-one between Jacob Fatu and Roman Reigns. And Jacob Fatu will fucking pin Roman Reigns. I think that is absolutely possible. I think they know what they have in Jacob Fatu. They're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They're trying to do a little bit of, this is good, but also We want to try and make sure we can do both without hindering one or the other. And like, it's really hard. I feel like you have to choose Solo or Jacob Fatu. You can't make them both into giant stars with this Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns coming back thing. You have to pick one of them to be the top guy in that hierarchy. And I feel like they're trying to like, what if we did both though? And I feel like that's a surefire recipe for not working out in the favor that you want to do. That's just me. Yeah. I mean, Jacob is the best thing about the bloodline because he's Jacob Fatu. I mean, there's none of this would work if Jacob Fatu wasn't a part of it. Like, if you just replace, let's say, if you replace Jacob Fatu with Hikuleo, if it's the exact same shit, but they're trying to make you believe that Hikuleo is the same guy that Jacob Fatu is right now, none of this would work. Okay? He is the thing that makes everything work. However, I am not going to take anything away from the stuff that Solo Sikoa is doing because I think he has been killing it. I think he's been doing such great work. And it's really hard because I do think Jacob Fatu in the same role as Solo Sikoa would be even better because he's Jacob fucking Fatu. But like Jacob Fatu would be a 10 out of 10. That doesn't mean that Solo Sikoa isn't currently an 8.5 out of 10, which is really good. That's really good. It's just not as good as what Jacob Fatu would be. So I'm worried figuring out who they're really pushing. Is anybody going to actually look good after tomorrow? Or is it just going to be Cody Rhodes that looks good after tomorrow? That's the thing that I feel like cannot happen. It just can't. Like, Silverpocalypse, I feel like you are not comprehending the absolute 100% surety of Cody Rhodes sticking his little bleach blonde nose into all of this shit. Roman, Usos, Solo, Sami Zayn versus Jacob and the other three and Umaga's son. I mean, where's Cody Rhodes? Because he's absolutely fucking a part of this. There's zero chance that when they do the War Games match, when they do, I was going to say Blood and Guts, but that's not what they call it. When they do the War Games match, Cody is going to be on Roman's side. There's 0% chance they don't do that. Zero. Here's the thing. I don't think he is either, but if they're going to have Solo lose to Cody, the only way I will accept it is if it's because Roman Reigns comes back. That's the only way I'll accept him losing. See, now this is where they might put off Roman Reigns for that long, but it'll get really tiresome when like Cody is saying that like Solo is a wannabe Roman Reigns, and Solo is saying if Roman Reigns has a problem with that, he knows where to find me. Leg lariat powerbomb combo. Pretty cool there from MXM. This, by the way, MXM and Private Party is everything that you would expect it to be. It's excellent. It's going to become really tiresome having Solo mention Roman all the way until November 30th. That's going to be really fucking tiresome. You know what I mean? We're going to get really bored of it very fast. But that's what they want. They want you to like lull you into like, well, Roman didn't show up then, and he didn't show up then, and he didn't even show up then. I guess Roman is never showing up. Oh, there's Roman. Like, that's what they want you to do. They want you to do that because they know that you're, they know that their audience is a bunch of rubes. See, if Bailey wins tomorrow and Tiffany does not cash in on her, I think that Nia, oh, amazing boss man slam from Mason on the outside. I think if Nia and Tiffany go off and do a thing with Chelsea and Piper for a while, and Bianca and Jade are doing something with the non-spooky Scottish Muggles and the Sapphic Shield, I think that the next thing for Bailey, I feel like it's Charlotte. And I don't know if she comes back tomorrow, but I think we're going to get Charlotte back pretty soon. Yeah. I guess they are British Muggles now. I mean, listen, honestly, I feel like they should make Blair talk with a Scottish accent. They should force her to do it. It's kind of like a rite of initiation. MXM are so amazing. Here we go. Here's their finisher. Here's their finisher. It's the best. Here we go. Oh, God, that looks so sick. It's a giant elevated double DDT. MXM should win the tag titles from the Young Bucks. This seals it for me. MXM should win the tag titles from the Young Bucks. If GYV is not coming in at All In and beating the Young Bucks in All In, then MXM should beat them. And if GYV beats the Young Bucks for the tag titles at Wembley, then the team they should lose those tag titles to is MXM. MXM should be no worse. If not, they're not the next tag champions. They should be the ones after that. And that is all I will accept. Aubrey was great with she looking over her shoulder with them. That was so great. Anyway, it's Star Wars on TNT, and I'm probably gonna go pop in and ruin Kate and Cardoza's stream. So until tomorrow night, when we'll do right here, we will do a SummerSlam review show tomorrow night. Me and Kate, please show up. Listen to me rant about how they've neutered Solo Sikoa and how much I hate Cody Rhodes and also how much I hate CM Punk. Listen to me rant, please. Tomorrow night. And also how much I hate Logan Paul. Logan Paul, by the way, for those of you who tuned in late, just repeating our top story for tonight, Logan Paul, piece of shit, and everything sucks.